Chewy's over here with money-making schemes. I was telling him how I went to the dry bar when I was in L.A. to get my hair done. You guys didn't know what a dry bar was, so I informed you. It's where you go and they blow dry and curl your hair.
What to say, because otherwise a dry bar seems,
not very fun.
oxymoronic.
Yeah.
Like, what am I drinking there?
You have no alcohol? Whiskey?
Just carrot juice?
No, it's a hair place. And then, Chewy, you said that your wife doesn't like that they charge for blow drying.
In Florida?
Here.
She doesn't get charged here. I know in Florida, she's like, are you kidding me?
Well, but again, it's only like $50 to go into
50
a dry
bucks to dry your hair? I'm like 25, you know?
Electricity doesn't cost that much.
You trust me to curl your hair?
Not even a little
It'd
bit.
It'd be a new look.
Trend setting.
You would singe that stuff right off.
Oh, yeah. What do we do that's like that?
Barber? Shave? Go get a shave?
Like, do you go and get the shave at the old barber or trim?
So when I get my hair cut, the trimming of the beard is a part of the package that I pay for.
I'm afraid that I'm going to get whacked.
What, with the straight edge? With the Oh, it's great.
I would never let anyone straight edge me. No.
It is the best.
Yeah,
that is
you're envisioning a licensed barber who's trying to run a business and continue to make money is going to slit your throat? Is
that possibly?
I'm just trying to figure out, where are we, good fellas?
Oh, whenever I go to a restaurant, everyone in the family knows where I sit.
Facing the door.
No, back's got to be the wall.
I figured it was facing.
Yeah.
No,
got to be able to see everything.
I get very uncomfortable.
Yeah, you got to see everything. What if what if you're at one of those tables that's like in the middle and there's no way to have your back to the wall? I'd
ask for another table.
I'm going to start calling you Tony Soprano.
Didn't realize you were this paranoid that this many people were after you.
What kind of lifestyle is it if you can't just pretend everybody's out to get you and there's a whack on the way?
It's very boring.
It's like you're for sport pretending you're at risk of something.
Give them something to do.
Whack on the way is fun to say. There's a whack on the way.
Is there a dry bar here?
Yeah, Whitefish Bay.
It's a bad name for a business, isn't
really?
It? It's very confusing.
Well, I mean, Jen knows what it is. It's not like we're the clientele that's going there.
I think the people who need to know do.
Are there men out there that blow dry their hair?
If you have long
Absolutely.
Hair. Oh, also, you know, with the style now, with the teenage boys, they do the whatever it is.
Flock of seagulls?
Yeah, something like that. A lot of guys are blow drying their hair.
Really?
I saw an Instagram video where guys actually put a hat on, like a hat on backwards, and then they use the back of the hat to blow dry the hair around it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
And then they take the
hat off.
Where
it's got the hole in the back of that.
And then they've got the, I don't know what you call it, so I'm doing the sound effect.
Bullwinkle?
It looks like wings.
Yeah.
When I had longer hair, I would hate when that happened to mine. If it was wet and I put a hat on and it started to get the ramp, it would be like, this is embarrassing. Now it's a desire.
Do you guys use a comb or a brush?
Yeah.
I've never used one. Just the hand. Yeah.
serves the same purpose.
Yeah.
Petey Pablo weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line. He says, just stick your head out the window on the freeway. Free.
Works. Yeah, there you go.
A little chilly on a day like today.
Yeah, catch pneumonia.
Wake you up.
Is it true that if you have a wet head of hair and you go outside, you could get sick?
That's a lie.
You tell me. You're the mom. I feel like my mom's the one who always told me that, so I feel like this knowledge had to have been passed on to you as the parent.
Like it directly conflicts with the idea that colds come from bacteria and viruses. That's where I'm having a tough time here, if I'm being honest with you. Can you go outside with wet hair and not get sick?
I think that's...
You'll catch your death of cold. That's what it sounds like your mom would say, right?
Yeah.
Like,
there's got to be germs, right? No?
Yeah, I don't know.
Germs in
maybe
there.
maybe it attracts the germs.
Germs is our concern here.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm an orthopedic. I'm not an ear, nose, and throat.
You're barely an orthopedic, so not sure what that means for any of this other stuff. I was going to start this conversation talking about the Bears-Packers. Bears, obviously in first place in the NFC, this game for first place in the NFC North. And there's been a lot of talk about whether or not this is the biggest Packers-Bears game, at least in the last decade. We talked about that yesterday. Who has more on the line between the two teams?
Oh, Packers.
Yeah? You said
because
that very
the Bears,
definitively.
The Bears could win two more games. What are they, 8-3?
Yes.
The Bears could win one
three.
More game
nine
and it'd
three.
Be a successful season.
Yeah, they're 9-3.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I'm sure Vegas, the under over on them was probably 7.
Yeah, they could have already hit that number in terms of their total. Mm-hmm. If the Bears make the playoffs at all,
oh, that's
a huge step forward for this team. That is a proof of concept that they made the right hire, that they're going to continue to talk themselves into Caleb Williams. Making the playoffs is a huge win for the Bears because they haven't done that. The next step for the Packers is winning the division, hosting home playoff games, being one of the top teams in the NFC.
Yes.
If the Bears surpass you in the division race after you've been putting all this work in to get past the Detroit Lions, yeah, that's disappointing. I agree with you. I think there's more on the line for the Packers.
Are you calling them good yet or no?
The Bears?
Yeah.
I mean, they're a good team. They do something. Like, their running backs, Chew, are good.
Yeah.
Like, their running game is good. I'm with Jason in terms of the, I don't know if I've seen the growth that everybody wants to pretend they're seeing with Caleb Williams yet, but that run game is taking a ton off of Caleb Williams, and I think Ben Johnson just works his magic to make the passing game. Although Ben Johnson yesterday called out the passing game, saying it wasn't where it needs to be.
I saw that, yeah.
So, you know, even their head coach is not satisfied with the way their quarterback has been playing.
It just shows you what a good coach can do. You know, this was, you know, it reminds me of Holmgren in 92 because our roster sucked and we still won 9 games. And it was all because, not all, but 5 of those wins were coaching. Coaching, yeah, makes a huge difference. Huge.
Well, and I think we have talked about, you know, there was a lot of talk about how, you know, what's the division? I'm escaping it right now. It's escaping me right now. But with Harbaugh and with
AFC West.
Thank you very much. Good grief. I only got one of the names, too. It's Pete Carroll and
well, the fact that you said Harbaugh, you could have said and AFC North. It's either the North or there's two Harbaughs.
Anyway, all of the talk about how talented and successful those head coaches are, right? It was mm-hmm. like, oh, this is the division that has the best head coaches in the league. I'm wondering now if people are going to start saying that about the NFC North. If people think that, like, Kevin O'Connell and Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell are some of the top coaches in the league.
I think
you're not there yet.
Some of the shots.
Well, I think Detroit, and I didn't really buy into it, but now I do. Losing the two coordinators is the reason why they're in a free fall. Because Dan Campbell, he's a good head coach, good manager of people, but he's not a play caller. He's not a play caller. Just shows you how good Ben Johnson was there. Mm-hmm. Because he's so creative.
Is that your metric for a head coach, though? Is your metric for head coach who's a good play caller?
No.
Some of these guys, they just don't do it.
No. Because Tomlin has never done it. I mean, he's on the hot seat now, but he's been one of the better coaches in the league for a while.
I mean, Pete Carroll had a lot of success as that CEO type, being more of a delegator. John Harbaugh, I mean, he's had a ton of success. He's won a Super Bowl in Baltimore being a delegator.
Even Belichick never called the D. He had Patricia and all those guys. Now, he oversaw a lot of stuff and had faith in those guys, but he's another one. Coughlin, I can't remember if Coughlin. I know he did in college called offensive plays. I think he did.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
He did. But not necessarily. You can manage, but you got to trust the guys underneath you, which Dan Campbell did, and I don't think he trusts them anymore. So
it's
he'll be looking for a new one.
It has felt like for the last few years that the Dan Campbell-Matt LaFleur rivalry was building, building, building. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, but Packers win that game on Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden it's like, next. And now it's like there's a rivalry between Ben Johnson, who called out Matt LaFleur and talked about how we've really enjoyed beating the Packers as a member of the Lions. That sort of added fuel to this fire that this is a rivalry, that the Ben Johnson-Matt LaFleur rivalry is a thing, even though the two have never played. They haven't even played yet. Like that, this will be the first time that these two guys face off as head coach versus head coach, and yet all of a sudden it feels like...
That's what every Bears head coach does. They call out the Packers in some form or fashion. If you get hired as the head coach of the Chicago Bears and don't in some form or fashion call out the Green Bay Packers, you might get fired the next day.
Yeah.
Because every last one of them's done it for the last 20 years.
But it's been so empty, though. That's the thing. Like, they're still talking crap when the Bears suck.
Oh,
yeah. You know? Now we don't really know what the Bears are. We think they're good. So, I love it. I think it's great. You know? I'm excited for this game. I'm a little worried, but I'm excited for the game on Sunday.
They got to come up with some defensive answers.
Yeah.
The Packers do. I actually heard Joshy and Strofe talking about that.
Were you guys talking about that yesterday, Joshy, where you were saying, thank you, Bears. Thank you for finally showing up and holding up your end of the bargain when it comes to this rivalry. Yeah,
that was Strofe. I want to distance myself from those comments.
No.
I'm not going to thank the Bears for anything.
I will never, ever thank the Chicago Bears for a damn thing.
I want the Bears to be futile. I want them to be losers.
Has Strofe ever tried kicking a field goal? Because I couldn't imagine it being any worse.
No, he made contact with the football.
He did?
Yeah, I mean, he missed the kick.
Never got it above 4 feet in the air, if I remember correctly.
But he hit the football.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right, kudos to him. He's got to feel good about himself today, I would think.
After Younghoe Koo stubbed his toe into the turf.
Yeah.
Stubbed his toe. I thought he was going to break his ankle.
Is he going to have turf toe?
If that doesn't cause turf toe, I don't know what does. if we're being honest about turf toe, that's if just jamming your foot into the turf like that doesn't cause turf toe, then I don't know what turf toe is. Yeah. And I don't know how you
get it. Total misnomer. It's totally does not deserve to be turf toe if that wasn't turf toe. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got power rankings coming up. Let's see how we do deciding who is in the top spot in the league this week.
If you feel like you're running on empty, Mantality Health is here to help. Mantality, local healthcare facility specializing helping men feel and perform at their very best by targeting low testosterone. If you have low testosterone, here could be some of the symptoms you have. If you have energy or motivation, you have fatigue, you're just tired all the time, weight gain, muscle loss, especially belly fat, you feel anxious, moody, or irritable. Those are all signs of low testosterone, and Mantality can help. They focus on free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can't overlook, ensuring that your treatment is tailored to your body. That's what I love about working with Mantality, how it's worked for me. It's a customized testosterone treatment plan. It's not just show up, oh yeah, here you go. No, you go back every 11, 12 weeks, you get your blood checked to make sure all your levels are where they need to be. And the results when you work with Mantality, your energy comes back, that belly fat burns off, and you start feeling like yourself again, confident, driven, ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be at your best for you and your family. Just go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio, mentalityhealth.com/radio, and book that first appointment today.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm saying if we collectively, all the people in their cars, all the people listening on the YouTube stream, all the people listening this morning, if we all do it together, there's power in prayer, friends.
Yes, there is. Bless me, Father, for I played man.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Are you looking for reliable transportation this holiday season? Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. From corporate travel and weddings to group events, Accutrans Group caters to every single occasion. I told you guys, Accutrans Group took care of our high school parents headed up to the state semifinals by Green Bay. Everyone had a fantastic time. It was safe, easy, and dependable. You can visit their website at AccutransGroup.com to get a quote and book a reservation today. That's AccutransGroup.com for reliable and safe transportation.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay, I just have one issue. Other than that, ooh, I think it's a pretty good list. Pretty, pretty good. So,
okay,
give me 10.
I have the Detroit Lions at number 10.
I'm with Jen. I said Detroit. Number 10.
The Indianapolis Colts are 10. With a loss to the Texans. They're kind of sliding a little bit.
1-3 in their last four.
Yeah, that's not good. Might want to rethink Daniel Jones. 9.
Now this is where I have to decide if I think the Lions snuck into the top 10 at 9 or if they are out of the top 10. Colts are 10. I'm going to guess the Lions again here, but that's the end of my guessing for the Lions if they're not here.
Chargers.
A.O. Brian D.
Whoa.
Jen, Detroit is 11.
That helps me. Thank you very much. I appreciate
Buffalo.
That.
They're one and done.
What were they last week?
They were 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Beat the Steelers pretty easily, but mm-hmm. I just don't. They don't have enough talent. Josh Allen needs a little help. 8.
I guess I'll go Chargers here.
49ers.
Chicago Bears.
Interesting. Okay.
Chicago Bears up 3 from 11.
Yeah, they should be in the top 10 somewhere. This makes sense. They're sitting at 9-3, top of their division.
I'm just wondering if they should have been higher. I mean, that's a pretty big win, right? Pretty big win.
And on the road. I'm guessing the Eagles are still above even though they won, which means that once again, head to head is.
I am not sleeping on Philly.
You should be.
No. I think this is a team, even though they're crapping down the leg, this is a team you do not want to play in the playoffs.
I think they are imploding the way that they did 2 years ago.
Who's better? Let me ask you this. Buffalo or Philly?
I would not want to play Buffalo.
I would not
in the postseason. Because Josh Allen presents so many different challenges. Like the Eagles' offensive line, the Eagles' strengths of last year are their weaknesses this year. Yeah. Their lines stink.
Yeah.
Offense and defense.
7.
Okay. Just to be clear, it goes Colts, Buffalo, Chicago so far, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put the Eagles here. I don't think the Eagles can be much higher after the Bears beat them. I'm going to put the Eagles here at number 7.
Chargers?
San Fran.
Oh.
San Fran's sneaky. Are they sneaky?
Yeah, but they have a ceiling.
They have a ceiling.
Because their defense, they play a competent offense, and they're not really going to be able to stop anybody. Their best two defenders out for the season. I mean, they're doing what they can with that offense.
Don't want to play them in the playoffs?
No, yeah, I want to play that. I would be fine playing with them
San
in the playoffs.
San Fran or Eagles? Who would you rather play in the playoffs?
San Fran. San Fran. Because that defense is... Poof.
Yeah.
You can light up that defense.
6.
Eagles?
This is where the Eagles have to be.
Eagles, it can't be any higher.
Eagles
than
are
like
here, but my
Bears.
Problem is they only dropped 2 spots. And I thought they should have dropped more.
Because they just haven't looked good. That's part of the problem. It's not that they're losing these games, but they even in the wins, they're just not looking like they're a team that you should be scared of.
Yeah, the game plans don't fit what they have. Stop trying to run the ball. Or stop trying to run the ball with Saquon because they just can't do it. 5.
Your Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, that's what I have as well.
Yeah, and you're correct. Up from 7.
Yeah, so that was the thing. I didn't think they'd make a bigger jump than that. I didn't think they'd go up 3 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still questioning them? Because usually after a game like Detroit, you get a week of Green Bay love. Hasn't been as much. Probably
a
little bit.
The game was on Thursday. And
yeah, but a little bit
Friday.
Of like, okay, we've been down this road before where maybe. You beat a good team and then you meh.
Yeah, got to follow it up.
That's fair.
But the Lions, so if you're using that theory also, the Lions, as you mentioned, are 11th on this list. So maybe they don't think the Lions are.
I think the Lions are done. I just think
Do you
they
think
know.
The Lions are done?
If they lose.
I saw they just lost their corner to IR.
Yeah, but name, whoever loses Thursday between the Cowboys and Lions, they're out.
They're done.
I think that is an early elimination game.
Okay. 4.
Well, based just on record alone, I've got Seattle here.
Seahawks.
4.
Seahawks are 4. 3.
It's got to be Denver.
Denver.
Denver is. They're 10-2, huh?
Yeah. They're looking a little shaky, though.
Yeah, Bo Nix.
You need a 2-point conversion stop in order to beat Washington on Monday Night Football.
But from a shaky standpoint, you also don't believe in Sam Darnold, which they have the Seahawks at 4. So who's shakier between Denver and Seattle?
I trust Seattle more than Denver.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Like because your defense is supposed to be the strength of that team. You gave up almost 30 points to Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
What? How does that happen?
Yeah. Not good. 2.
I got to be the Rams.
Rams drop down.
Rams and then New England.
The
won.
New England
All right,
Patriots.
Do a little gaps here. Let's do some gaps.
But the problem is, like, the way that I would group these aren't even, you know.
All right.
Pats, because... Rams, one, then I would go gap.
Oh, hold on. Say that again, Jen.
Pats and Rams, gap.
But I still don't believe in the Patriots. I don't think the Patriots are going to a Super Bowl
this
year.
Then you can't, how are you going to gap a sucker?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to gap it.
Like, who's your team in the AFC?
Flip a coin? They're all kind of the same.
I'm having a hard time getting off the Chiefs. And they have they're less than 50% to make the playoffs.
Chiefs are done.
Chiefs are the team that nobody wants to play.
Buffalo done.
Wait. What was the quote that Chewy's guy had? They're going to tickle your tonsils.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw that Andy Reid.
That was the Andy Reid quote.
He's got it.
When did he say
that? Hold on to me on this, Matt. I'm telling you, we're going to go after you every game. And, you know, that's how we roll. We're going to try to tickle your tonsils on every play, every game.
Son of a buck.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Really?
In what world? Yeah. I mean, I could tell you one world what it means, but.
Did he ever use that around you?
Tickle the tonsils?
Yeah.
No, but he didn't swear, so he'd have some weird, you know, you all have heard son of a buck.
Yep.
Jeepers Crow. Jiminy Christmas. You know? And you know, the guys that we are, we always tried to get him to swear, but
sure.
We could never do it.
You never broke him?
No.
Not even once?
Mm-mm. Now, Sherman,
I'm disappointed in you guys.
Yeah.
But you couldn't even get Andy to swear one time.
No, Andy was pretty solid. Mormon Mafia. All right, can we get back to the gap?
I think it's Rams gap.
Wait, now you know what it feels like. Yeah.
Fair. That was fair.
In fairness, tickle your tonsils.
All right, I'm with Jen. New England Rams gap. Denver Seattle. Denver Seattle gap. Green Bay.
Philly.
That means you're just scared of the Packers. If you won't put the Packers with the Broncos,
I
got to
see
Seahawks.
Them put it together.
But I don't think you've seen the Broncos or Seahawks put it together.
They're 10-2.
Yeah, but when they play the tough games, like again, you
Seahawks
put Sam Darnold.
The Rams tough.
Sam Darnold threw 4 interceptions.
Yeah, I know.
Threw 4 picks.
Well, I think the Rams have the number one defense in the league.
And they just gave up 31 to Carolina.
No, I know.
I'm having a tough time with the Chicago-Buffalo area. Are we gapping those two?
Chicago-Buffalo.
7, 8, 9, 10.
I don't know what Chicago is.
Josh Allen puts them ahead of the Bears.
Yes.
Then again, to Gabe's point, how do you gap it? You can't.
I think this is as hard of a year as there is to gap. Because it's just you see the flaws. They just stare you in the face of all these teams, despite being 11-2 or 10-2 or 9-3.
Yes.
Like you see the flaws just glaring on your TV screen every week.
The only way the Bears beat Green Bay, the only way, is if Johnson outcoaches LaFleur. That's it. If he outcoaches them, they win.
I think there's a portion of the Packers fan base
that are afraid of that.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Well, but
sentiment
is running the ball
nervous.
Down your throat coaching you? I don't think
no,
so.
No, it's running
well,
the ball down your throat.
We gave Matt LaFleur credit last week or the week before because we were like, it wasn't fancy, it wasn't pretty, but he did what he had to do to get the win, and that's good coaching.
Is Ben Johnson the best play caller in all of the NFL? Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Based upon what he did with
Sean
Detroit
McVay
last year.
Is never
based
going
upon
to give
what
up.
He did last year with Detroit and what he's doing this year with a lesser offense.
But I'm telling you this right now, in a big game that I have to win, I want Andy calling plays. In a must-win game, I want Andy.
Is he going
to
try and run Kareem Hunt 47 times up the middle for nothing while Patrick Mahomes continues to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't know.
Maybe in a big game that he has to win, he's going to.
Is he going to do the topsy turvy whirling dervish? Because I mean, get serious, man.
I think he's bored.
Who are we talking about?
Andy.
He's hungry.
Reed.
He wants a hamburger.
We have the doors open here because it's hot as
I know.
The Dickens,
can you shut those? I'm
and I can
cold.
Hear Joshy yelling because
he also has his
doors
open.
So I can hear his voice rolling through the door over here, which is hilarious. That's one. Two, I think the highlight of the show this morning has been when you went, yes, no, yes, no, yes.
Neither of you like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. Rabbit season.
We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll out after this.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How are you feeling, big guy, about the MRI?
It's starting to hurt now. I think I have mental issues. I really do.
Well...
Gonna have to clip that
yeah,
for me?
Yeah, that's
hold on to it?
Yeah. I know, I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just a thing. It's something in my brain's telling me.
Something is wrong, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what I say? Happy wife, happy life. And that usually means a visit to my main guy, Dean Dean, the dancing machine at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to take their next step, you can bet they'll be heading to the Jewelry Center for their engagement rings. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for rings. Plus, you always hear about how great Gabe had at the Jewelry Center with his experience. The Jewelry Center specialist picked out. I just screwed that whole thing up. Sorry, Dean.
Well, it's been a minute.
I'll do better next time. But they know what I meant, Gabe.
No guarantee.
You lost
the only way you can save this is by singing the ending here.
Where am I at?
From the top.
Stop into one of their three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington today, and check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com. Sorry, Ron. How was that?
That was pretty good.
Give me a grade. Did I bail it out?
Who's Ron?
C's. Ron and the key. The pain in my ass. Always. You know, talk about a guy that's never on my side like you two. It's just...
I'm on your side.
No, wait, you're not.
Did Ron text you or something? Or you just could feel the energy?
Whatever the lines we have here that do the social media stuff, he's been on there. Right? No, you flopped. You switched.
What do you mean I flopped?
You're that guy.
I don't know what any of this means.
I don't either. I'm still shaken by the read.
I think you could have gone a little more Goulet on us.
You think so?
I think a little more.
Robert.
Lean a little more
Robert,
into the Goulet, and I think it would have been an A+.
Now I'm starting to sweat.
That's because you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you guys about the wide receiver situation. We asked Jason about this earlier. If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can always find it on the ESPN Wisconsin app. We have a Jason Wilde designated area where you can hear all of his insights. For the first time all season, the Packers might have their full receiving core. Now, we still don't know what Matthew Golden's situation is, but Jason said he believes that Jaden Reed will be back out on the field this week. Doesn't know if he'll be on a pitch count. Doesn't know what the snaps will look like. I want to know what you guys want the snaps to look like. If Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks are on the field, I guess you can throw Musgrave in there as well if you want to, although
you know
we're talking about pass catchers here.
You know
who's
last for me?
Doubs.
Golden.
It should be Doubs.
Golden. Are we questioning him at all?
Who?
Golden.
Not even for a moment.
Who are we putting it on then?
I think that they want to ease him into the offense. He obviously has dealt with a little bit of injuries here, so that's going to hinder the progress. But I put it on the coaching staff.
Okay.
I don't think they want to overwhelm him, and I don't think he would be, but I think the better option is to ease a guy like that into the offense.
Some of it's on the quarterback. There have been times where he's been open and he's just hesitant to throw the ball that way for whatever reason.
Okay.
I'm hoping that, and again, I think that's been an issue for Jordan all year, to tight windows to anyone but Romeo Doubs. And then on what we saw on Thursday, he was willing to trust his guys. Obviously, he trusted Dontavian Wicks to go out there and make plays. Like, guys were covered. Christian Watson, guys were covered. And usually he only throws the ball to Romeo Doubs in those situations. I think he's starting to learn, hey, I can trust a lot of these guys. And I still think Matthew Golden's one of those guys you can trust.
Okay.
We just haven't seen him on the field because of the respective injuries he's had.
It's weird to me because Doubs feels more like a slot guy because he's not special. Your slot guy is a third down guy that picks up third and eights and stuff like that. The Z, he's just not explosive. So I know it's too late in the year.
Well, you're getting your slot guy back.
No, I know that, but I'm like, I'd rather have Wicks at the Z, Reed in the slot, and then Watson at the X.
100%.
Yes.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, sign me up for that.
Because when you get playoff, you need explosives. You need running a slant and taking it 60 yeah. yards.
And honestly, you know who the first guy is for me coming off the bench?
Who?
Would be Golden. And then in those third down red zone situations, then you can bring in Romeo
Doubs. I just know how rookies get. Like, this time of year, it's cold here. He's never been in a place this cold. And it's like you're tired and you're beat down. And there's days you don't want to be there. That's why I just think
they're
he's
hardly
okay.
playing him. He should be fresh.
Well, true, but I'm just saying from a mental, because it is a mental grind. It's a mental grind.
Well, especially when you're not playing and you want to be playing. Like, I think there were whispers of frustration from Matthew Golden as far as how he was being used or how much he was being used. And then, of course, the injury happens and then, you know, you got to sit out. But I think that this is a kid who thought he would make a more immediate impact just given where he was drafted, guys.
Yeah.
Like, given the fact that they, you know, took a flyer, took a chance, went up and grabbed this kid and
well, and a day wouldn't go by during training camp where you wouldn't hear something great about Matthew Golden.
Well, I've talked about this a lot. The Packers always learn the lesson the hard way. They always are slow to react to clearly better players being given the opportunities they probably deserve. And would it shock you if next season or later this season we're looking and going, huh, maybe if we would have given those Romeo Doubs routes to Matthew Golden, this offense would have looked a lot better.
All right, pause for a second because I'm getting pushback on both the YouTube stream and the Carbless Talking Text Line. So I want you guys to work your way through this. Jason says, Romeo Doubs reminds me of Donald Driver, his hands and his athletic ability. Hold.
Nope.
And then John says, sometimes I'm ashamed to be a Packers fan listening to you guys. Dobbs has been our best and most consistent receiver.
Not even close.
To the people who are listening who think that Dobbs is the best and most consistent receiver why you guys have hesitation when it comes to him, Gabe.
Well, because he doesn't have the athleticism of Donald Driver. Like, go ahead, go, just, if you think that, whoever put that in there, just Google Donald Driver 49ers. The first play that's going to come up is the best play of Donald Driver's career where he breaks, it's no less than 7 tackles. He is just shedding defenders as he goes down the field, has speed. Like, Romeo Doubs is never going to make a play like that. He's just not. Like, Romeo, the best comparison for Romeo is James Jones. Jason said it 1,000 times. Like,
yeah.
And it's not that that type of receiver doesn't have a place. He does. I think the way that they've used him in the red zone for some of those tight windows, contested catches, he had a touchdown, he had a big third down conversion, I think that's the right way to use him. But if you're looking for explosive plays, Romeo
Doubs... He's a slot receiver by numbers. 45 receptions, 12-point yard average. I had a 12.6. I had a 12.6,
yes.
Okay? He's at 12. And I'm sure Donald Driver was probably 14 to 15, his average. No. When you get to this time of year, you need explosive. You need, because it's, you know what it is? It's kind of like MLB baseball, you know, where every single pitch is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what this is.
Hey, you know? Again, 542 yards. That's, man, that's just, that
in
ain't
in comparison to his targets. Look at his like yards per route run. He's going to be towards the bottom in all those things because he doesn't get open. He doesn't separate. He doesn't break tackles. He has a very hard time beating anybody deep. He's a limited player. In his usage that we saw last week on Thursday, that's the perfect spot. 4 targets. We use him on third down and near the goal line. That's the best you're going to get from him.
Because
we've seen the passing offense struggle when he's getting 8, 9, 10 targets. It happens all the time.
And your Z receiver is your stud. That's Justin Jefferson. That's Puka Nacua.
Well, and we've got Romeo Doubs out there doing it.
Like, Christian Watson has been back for half the games that Romeo Doubs has played. Like, they've got 5 more games left. Would anybody be shocked if he surpasses Romeo Doubs in as their leading receiver in terms of yards in those next 5 games? I wouldn't, because they are targeting Christian Watson more. Like, as everybody else has gotten healthier, Romeo Doubs' importance to this offense has gone down.
And look, this sounds like a bleep talking session on Romeo Doubs. It's not supposed to be that. But the point is, because I got people saying, you know, Doubs has bailed us out a number of times, trying to figure out which of the people on there said that. The point is not that Romeo Doubs is ass. The point is that he's not good enough to be the featured pass catcher in this offense. Yeah. And some of that has been a product of the injuries to other guys. That's just a reality, right? Did anybody want Jaden Reed to be hurt? No. Did anybody want Christian Watson to be out for as long as he was? No. Like, so I appreciate Romeo Doubs having stepped in and been that guy when they needed somebody to be that guy.
Romeo has a role in this offense.
Yes.
We're not saying he shouldn't be in the league. No, he can't be your number one option. He can't be your top target.
Totally agree.
If that is your top wide receiver, as we saw at different points earlier this season, your offense is going to struggle. Your offense is going to struggle if he is your top number one wide receiver. But as we've seen, as those guys have gotten healthy, Jen, he hasn't been that number one wide receiver. He hasn't been that top target. And I'm guessing those opportunities for him to have 5+ targets are going to go down as Jaden Reed gets healthier, as Matthew Golden gets healthier, mm-hmm. because those guys have the explosion and the run after catch ability that you need in offense.
And forgive me if I'm wrong on this, but wasn't it Jordan Love and Romeo Doubs who worked out together in the offseason, mm-hmm. weren't they the guys? So there is going to automatically be another level of trust there, right? Just from the reps that those two have had independently of the rest of the offense. That's why folks are saying, John weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, there's a reason why Love sends the ball his way. He's a possession receiver mm-hmm. who finds spots in the zones, not a flashy guy. Yes, and there is absolutely value
in
to that.
Yes.
I don't want to diminish what Romeo Doubs has done. This is more of how he is being used in the offense and a product of some of the injuries to the other guys in the receiving corps. A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear Here District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball, and they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy where you can recruit
gotten?
A little?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I am thrilled to report that it feels cooler in here.
What are we at, 78?
No, still 79.
Okay.
We've had the door open for the last hour approximately. It has gotten much more comfortable in here. Crushing the tank top action here in the studio. Probably going to have to throw on some layers before I step out into whatever temperature it is outside.
Isn't that supposed to be like a good thing for you? Go from the hot to the cold?
Contrast.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, listen, the closer I creep to menopause, the more I appreciate the cold, gentlemen. Jen, why are you standing outside? Menopause.
It's hot in here.
Will D and Touch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.